We'll read a verse, please, in the book of Job, and in chapter 22. Job chapter 22, verse 21. Job 22, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The Lord, we know, will bless the reading of this precious text of Scripture. I would like this evening, if I could, just to indicate to you, especially those who as yet are in their sins and have never come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the secret of knowing peace and the secret of in a future day knowing good. Here is a man, and he's seeking to instruct Job. I don't wish to go into this third discourse of Eliphaz at all, but I just want to lift the principles that there are in the verse. I think you could never accuse this man of speaking in riddles. The very first word gives us something of plain advice, acquaint. We sometimes have a strange idea just what it means to be acquainted. There are many in this room tonight, and I would be acquainted with them. Just have a passing knowledge of them would be in what we would call nodding acquaintance with them. But that's not what's meant in this verse. It's far more than a passing acquaintance with the Lord Jesus that brings blessing. It's far more than just something that is superficial. There's another man who translated something of our Bible. And he says in this verse to reconcile. I think that's something more of the idea than what we've got here. And the plain advice that this man is giving is that if you want to know peace, and if you want to know anything of good, then there must be a moment of reconciliation. Reconcile now thyself with him, and be at peace. You may well ask this evening, why would it be necessary that we would need to be reconciled with him? What has ever happened that we have been estranged? Why do we need this thing of reconciliation? You find the answer to this in the very chapter in which we're reading. If you read in verse 5, we read this, is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? And the first reason that you need to be reconciled to him is because of your rebellion against God. Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? If this wasn't in the Word of God, you might well say to me, you're exaggerating. To talk about people in the meeting, and to talk about people who have been respectfully brought up, and people who would come and listen to a message in the gospel, to talk to them about great wickedness and infinite iniquity would seem to be a vast exaggeration. Surely, surely you're not going to charge us with that. My dear friend, as you sit in this meeting this evening, you come into this category of those who have rebelled against God. When we read here, is not thy wickedness great? Wickedness is just badness. It brings before us in the fact of this great wickedness of just the awful depravity of man. You have been touched with it, and so have I. There's not a person who has been born apart from the Lord Jesus who has never been touched with this. And within your warp and woof, within your very nature, there is a something that tends to wickedness. And there is a wickedness that's great, that's an awful depravity. We start reading our Bible, and we read of a man and a woman in lovely, glorious circumstances. It's not long until they're out of the garden. It's not long before sin has entered, and they're put out, and God drives them out of the Garden of Eden. You would say, well, for this great wickedness to develop, for this awful depravity to be seen in the life of man, it's surely going to take generations. And it'll take a long time for this to be seen. And it must have been a kind of an evolutionary process before this ever would have manifested itself. Perhaps less than 30 years passed. And the first man to be born, Cain, rises up and commits murder. Why did he commit murder? He committed murder because he rebelled against God. And he committed murder because he hated his brother. There was a rebellion against God and there was a rejection of humanity. My dear friend, it didn't take very long after sin came in for these things to manifest themselves. This thing, this awful depravity, this great wickedness, when it has touched you and touched me. But it not only speaks of great wickedness in verse 5, it speaks of iniquity, and iniquity that's infinite. Iniquity, not so much badness, that's more twistedness. When we attach the idea of infinite, it means there just seems to be no end to the matter. And now we're learning not just of the fact that there is this desperate, awful depravity, but there is an abundant perversity in your very heart. Oh, I do think, my friend, if you're honest, and you just look into your heart and you find there every evil and filthy burden. And you'll find there every tendency and every propensity to evil. And because of this rebellion, because of something within that is producing something without, and because of this rebellion, a rebellion against God, you need to reconcile now thyself with Him. Not only do you need to be reconciled because of a rebellion against God, in verse number 17, we learn that you are in opposition to God. Verse 17 says, depart from us. This is the language of people speaking to God. Depart from us. And they stand in opposition to God, not just rebelling against God's claim, not just rebelling against God's word because of something that is inward, but now being openly antagonistic to the God of heaven, saying to them, depart from us. That really is the idea of enmity. I suppose if I were to say to you that you're an enemy of God, you would say, well, now you're going too far. You don't really know me. You don't know how kind I am. You don't know the good deeds I have done today. You don't know how I am respected in my neighborhood. You could not, in all good conscience, stand before a company of people and tell me that I am an enemy of God. I want to give you just a little test. The man called James, who writes in the New Testament, in chapter 4 he says this, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. He goes on to say, he that has the ambition, he that desires, he who has his bent to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. My dear soul, I would like you this evening, in the quietness of this meeting, and in the presence of God, just to ask yourself the question, where do your ambitions lie? Is all that you hope for and all that you want and all that you desire, all taken up with this world? Are all of your ambitions enshrined in a sports field? All that you ever hoped to be enshrined in a world of commerce? Until you're just like Bunyan's man with a muckrake, whose eyes are down and you're always scrabbling amongst the mud, because everything that you want and everything you do and everything you have is all associated with this world. Look at your soul in Luke chapter 13. It says of her that she was bound by Satan, lo, these 80 years. And it says she could in no wise lift up herself. Her back was bent double. She was always facing the earth. And James is saying, if that is your ambition, if that is the way that you act and live, and that is what you hope, then, my friend, regardless of all that you may consider about yourself to be good, James says, an enemy of God. Are you prepared to accept that because of what you desire, that you are an enemy of God? May I quote for you another verse? In Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament, and you that were sometime alienated in your mind by wicked works. Not just an enemy of God because of what you want, but now an enemy of God because of what you do. Wicked work. We're back to our first point. This thing of great wickedness. This thing that is within. This that is the very being that's within you because of the way you were born. Now displays itself in works which are against God. And there's not a person, not an honest person in the meeting, who would dare stand up and say, you know, Mr. Preacher, that I have kept all the law, that I don't do wicked work. I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and my neighbor as myself. There's not a person could stand and say that. It condemns every one of us because we've done those things that are wrong, and you're an enemy of God because of what you do. Then we come to another verse. In Romans chapter 8, we read this, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. I trust, my friend, that you're thinking, and you're saying that what we're trying to build for you is a pictorial reason why you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be reconciled because of what you want. You need to be reconciled because of what you do. Romans chapter 8 says you need to be reconciled because of what you think. Mind you, that's coming fairly fine. You know full well what goes on within your mind, just as I know what goes on in mine. And perhaps if it were not for circumstances, for our upbringing and for our society, that there is something that keeps it all in control. And as you sit in this meeting, thinking and honest before God, you need to be reconciled because of rebellion against God, and you need to be reconciled because of opposition to God. This verse 23, you need to be reconciled because of separation from God, if thou return unto the Almighty. Are you aware and do you understand the seriousness of sin? This thing that came in that made God drive out Adam and Eve from the garden. My dear friend, every time you get sin, you get distant. There was a personage, the highest of all God's created intelligences. And Lucifer, the son of the morning, sinned, and your Bible says that he was cast out. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were driven out. The leper that depicts for us a sinner, he's put out. Achan's sins and the camp of Israel is defiled, and eventually Achan is taken out. No matter where we find it distant. You who sit in this room tonight on stairs, you are at a distance. A distance because of what you want. A distance because of what you do. A distance because of what you think. Yea, my friend, a distance because of what you are. You're a sinner. A sinner in the presence of a thrice holy God. There is, to say in advice, acquaint. You say, acquaint with what? It's not a matter of acquainting with what. The verse tells us, acquaint now thyself with him. And so there's not only plain advice, but there is a person appointed. Acquaint now thyself with him. You will notice that the man who's speaking is talking about a person. It's not a matter of being acquainted with a religion. It's not a matter of being acquainted with creeds and ceremony. It's not a matter of going through rites and ordinances. It's not a matter of being acquainted with a company of people or a code of rules. Not a matter of being acquainted with a church or a chapel or a gospel hall. Not a matter of being acquainted with any of those things. It's not here being acquainted with a principle. It is the matter of being acquainted with a person. My dear friend, it is our business this evening to tell you about a person. If we miss telling you about a person, we have missed the whole point of this meeting. For it is necessary to tell you about sin. And it is necessary for you to understand that you are a sinner away from God and in opposition and rebellion to God. But if we had to close the meeting just at this juncture, there never would have been any point in studying. We want to tell you about a person. Acquaint now thyself with him. Listen. Listen to the words of Peter. Peter is speaking to a company of people. In Acts chapter 4 he says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You say to Peter, who is the person who's going to bring salvation? He will tell you it's a man within my company. It's a man whom I watch. It's a man, and I can tell you this, that he is as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's a man sinless. He's a man unique. He's a man glorious. He's a man, and we saw his glory upon the Holy Mount. He's a man, and I came to this conclusion, begotten of God, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter will tell you, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. My dear friend, we come before you tonight. We want to tell you about this person. God's Son come from heaven. The eternal Son of God. Have we not been studying so recently that what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, we do sing something. Down from the glory, the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaimed, Jesus, die for me. My friend, the only hope you have for eternity the only person who could overcome your rebellion, the only person who could quell your opposition, the only person who could bridge the great gulf of separation, was none less than the eternal Son of God. And so he came. His life was insufficient. We're not preaching to you, tread the Jesus way and you'll get to heaven. Not the life of Christ that brings salvation. My friend, the glorious matter is this, that the infinite and holy Son of God, who came from the splendor of glory, went all the way to dark Golgotha's tree. There we gaze at a man thorn crowned, a man with lacerated and bleeding parts, a man whose visage is so marred more than any man, and is worn more than the sons of men. A man nailed to a cross, a tree escaped, a dirty hind, and then mocking. My dear friend, in that very scene, men can display the awfulness of their depravity. Men can display the abundance of their perversity. But it's just at this point we find the loveliness, the wonder, the mystery of the love of God. For God laid the meat upon him, the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My dear friend, away from God, there might be a soul come into the meeting tonight, and you're unfamiliar with gospel teaching. And we tell you tonight that because of the death of the Son of God, there is a way back to God for you. There is salvation within your reach. There has been a work done at Calvary's cross that has satisfied eternally, entirely, absolutely every claim of God that allows God to offer salvation to the whosoever will, to offer salvation to you who sit in this meeting this evening. There is a person among them. You say, well, I thought, however, I'm going to get to heaven. I thought that I'm going to be kind of conscript, that I'm going to be forced. We learn in the expression there is a personal action. It says, acquaint now thyself. Thyself personally, individually, responsibly, acquaint now thyself. My friend, I am well aware that in the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached, there were 3,000 saved. Each of those 3,000 had to come to the Lord Jesus as an individual. People are not getting saved in droves. People are not getting saved in great bunches. The words of Scripture when it comes to this matter are intensely personal and intensely individual. The psalmist says, wash me, I shall be clean. Peter is thinking of, he says, Lord, save me. There's a thief hanging beside the Lord Jesus. And he says, Lord, remember me. I will remember the 26th of November, 1967. 1 month before my 21st birthday, lying in a bedroom in East Belfast in the Castlereagh district, longing for God's salvation. There was a verse of Scripture come into my soul, a verse that I took for myself, and it was this: God be merciful to me, the sinner. My friend, if you want salvation, you can have it. You have it because you want it. You have it because you accept it. You have it as an individual who exercises your own will and your God-given responsibility to get it. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. There's a period authorized. Acquaint now. Just now. If there is a soul in the meeting, you ponder eternal matters. You think of salvation. I ask you this evening, will ever you have a better opportunity of trusting Christ than just God? Saints praying. The Word of God being preached. The Spirit of God we trust moving. My friend, you never have a better opportunity than just now. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. There's an urgency. The coming of the Lord so very near. And the issues of life being so uncertain for you to acquaint now thyself with him. And then let us peace assured and be at peace. There is the promise of mine. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The man described for us in the New Testament, we have come to know him as the prodigal son. He came into the good of the truth of this verse. And he became acquainted with the person. He got four things. As he returned, he got a ring of divine light. He got shoes of a divine standing. He came into the good of a divine righteousness. He got a robe. And there was a fatted cow telling us of a divine fishing. This chapter tells us, my friend, that if you acquaint yourself with him, you get just the same. The good. Oh, I take it this is divine life. For once you're acquainted with him, says John's Gospel, chapter 17, that this is life eternal, that they may know thee, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This man got shoes for his feet. There was something put under him. For we read here in verse number 23, thou shalt be filled up. There was a grounding, not only good, there was a grounding. We read as well that he got gold in verse 25, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Really, the Almighty shall be thy gold. There's a divine righteousness. And then he got God in verse 26. Then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. You could have good. Grinding. You could have the gold of divine righteousness. You could get to God. That all could happen in the confines of this room tonight. My friend, take these few words, 15 of them. Carry them home with you. Ponder them in the presence of God. And take the advice to yourself. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee. May the Lord bless you.